So they asked me to talk in church this Sunday. I know, shocking, right? Like, well, do they want anyone there? Do they? Don't worry, they don't announce it. Nobody knows until they show up. So it won't affect attendance. But I want to share with you in this episode one of the quotes that I am leaning toward sharing from the pulpit at church this Sunday. This is not a religious episode, but this concept that I want to talk about is so applicable to effective leadership.
Leadership is the ability to facilitate movement in others toward a destination you can describe. I'm Russ Hill. I help build leaders. And this is the Culture Hacks Podcast.
Make sure you don't miss an episode. Tap on the follow, plus, or subscribe button, and you'll get two new episodes each week. Thanks for listening to the Culture Hacks Podcast with Russ Hill.
In our church, we don't have a pastor, we don't have a pastor either, but we don't have a pastor or a preacher or a clergy person who gets up and speaks every Sunday. Like some of you, and again, if you're not religious, no worries, this episode still applies to you. Just roll with me here. So in our church, we don't do that. There's a lay clergy, right? So we just take turns serving in different positions and speaking. So when you go to church on Sunday, you really have no idea who's going to talk. And usually it's a teenager, one of the youth, a teenage boy, teenage girl, somewhere between 12 and 18 years of age. Isn't that wild? Isn't that cool? Like when you turn 12, well, actually 11 these days, you start giving a talk in church. And I mean, a talk is generous, like 2 minutes. But you stand at the pulpit in front of, depending on the size of the congregation where you live, it's typically somewhere between 200 up to maybe 400 or 500 people in the congregation. And so you stand up there and you speak, and when you're 12 or 11, it's like 2 minutes. And then when you're 15 or 16, it might be 4 or 5 minutes. And then and most of us, you can imagine how long it takes to work your way through the congregation. So your turn comes up and you can say no. And some people do. They're like, oh, my gosh, I would rather die than be up there. And so they might not want to do it. But You speak probably every 3 years, 4 years, something like that. It's not very often. And for somebody like me, I love doing it. Doesn't mean I'm good at it, but I don't have any fear of public speaking. And so anyway, one of my turns, my turn every 4 or 5 years or whatever it is coming up this week at the time I'm recording this. And so there is a quote that I found that I want to share. And I've got like 7 minutes. Like I've got hardly any. It's just a super quick, hey, get up, share a story, an experience, mention a principle, maybe a verse out of our scriptures or a quote from one of our religious leaders or something, and maybe share a call to action or an invitation, sit down. No big deal. And so I want to share with you a quote. It's 5 words long that I've been thinking about, and it totally, totally applies to leadership and who you're trying to become as a leader, who I am trying to become as a leader. So let me dig into that. This is the Culture Hacks Podcast. Welcome in. I'm Russ Hill. I make my living coaching, consulting senior executive teams of some pretty cool companies. And you can find out more about our firm at lonerockconsulting.com. You can find out more about our leadership development. 30 days. We teach you 3 core competencies. And it's pretty amazing. Leadin30.com is where you can find out more about that. If you have not gone through Leadin 30, what are you waiting for? If you've got leaders that are underdeveloped on your team, what are you waiting for? I've given you deals. Like in like 10 episodes ago, I gave you a promo code that cut off half the cost off. Anyway, if you haven't gone through it, I think you're crazy, but obviously I'm biased. Or if you've got like 2 or 3 leaders or 10 leaders in your organization that you need to develop, why would you not put them through it? It's 30 days. It's 1 virtual meeting a week. It's some portal work. Anyway, this isn't a sales piece, so I'll shut up, but I'm passionate about it. And you can find out more at leadin30.com or direct message me on LinkedIn or and I can connect you with somebody else in another organization to put leaders through if you want me to, or connect you with somebody on our team. Okay, so here's the quote. You ready? This is and this is not profound necessarily, but it struck me. Maybe it won't strike you at all because it's a basic quote. It's from a past leader, and I don't remember when this guy died, but he was one of my favorite leaders in the church that I go to, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, right? So, and that's what I grew up in, and that's what we go to with our family, and so I we have current leaders of our church. This guy's name was Neil A. Maxwell. Just a judge, an incredibly brilliant guy who gave up his career to become one of the leaders in of the worldwide church, and he's just a profound speaker. His vocabulary is incredible, and so I was searching through some talks, speeches he's given over the years, and the topic I'm speaking on is the path of discipleship. Okay, again, this is not a religious episode. I'm going to leadership in just a minute. Hang with me for the payoff. I think you'll be glad. You'll get something out of it. But so I'm talking about, you know, as in our particular religion, whatever you profess or whatever you're agnostic or whatever you are, great. But in ours, you know, we worship, we follow, we try to become and institute in our lives the teachings of Jesus Christ, right? So that's who we worship, Christians, right? And so the path of discipleship is this path toward trying to follow the person who we profess a belief in. And so here's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5-word quote. That's, again, not profound, but I'll just give it to you. There are no, this is what Neil A. Maxwell said, like in the 80s, 90s, long time ago. He said, there are no instant Christians. There are no instant Christians. Think about that. Whether you're a Christian, whatever you think about it, you could roll your eyes and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe anybody would even fall for that crap. That's fine, but just track with me because I'm going to leadership in a minute. There are no instant Christians. What does that mean to you? And let's say that it was 2,000 years ago, and this person named Jesus Christ, again, not a religious episode, but track with me. Think of it like from a historic lesson. And so you meet this person. Or let's say that something happens today, boom, from heaven descends this person, and he really is who he professes to be, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. Christians around the world worship him. You meet him. He appears to you, or he's whatever. Well, like, how would that not make you an instant Christian? You'd be like, whoa, how did that happen? Like, that's a miracle. I think that quote still applies. I don't think you're an instant Christian. You might instantly believe. You might instantly go, oh my gosh, I doubted. I thought this thing was totally bogus. I don't like religion. I think Christianity is evil or whatever you think it is. And so in that moment, if it was real, right, you might go, oh, I'm an instant believer. I've got tons of faith. True. But I don't think you're an instant Christian. In the true definition of that term, there are so many people who profess to be Christian who you look at them, I look at them, we live with them, we are neighbors with them, we work with them, you're like, really? You think that's what you are? Because I'm looking at these choices you're making or how you treat other people or what you do or that mistake you made or whatever, and I don't really see it. Like, you may be saying that, but you're not really living it. And most of us don't need anyone to point that out to us because we're aware of our mistakes and our shortcomings, and we have regrets, and we've made decisions that we wish we could undo. And we've said things and we've thought things and there is no perfect person. You are far from it. I am too. And so this idea of Christian my belief, and I'm going to leadership in like 30 seconds, so hang with me. My belief is that is a lifelong path. And so it's two steps forward, one step back, or maybe one step forward, two steps back in the path to becoming Christian. It's not instant. You might be an instant believer, and that is even doubtful, but it takes a long time. We are somewhere on that path, that journey. And the older and more experienced I become, the more questions I have, the more contradictions I see in myself, in others, in things. In some areas, the more confidence I have in certain areas, and in other areas, the more uncertainty I have. Does that make sense? In lots of different areas, right? So anyway, now let's apply it to leadership. I think there are no instant great leaders. I don't think they exist. And you might say, well, Russ, what about the concept of natural born leaders? Like you meet that 12-year-old or that, or I've got three kids or a litter of 12 kids or whatever. And I that one is more of a natural leader than that one. And that one is, well, yeah, maybe. In some ways, what you're probably saying is they're more competent. They're more extroverted. They're more driven. They're more whatever. But a lot of those things that are don't make them a great leader. And the other kid who might be quieter and unsure, you're going to watch them develop. Maybe they're just a late bloomer or they're a little bit whatever. But they quietly lead. They have tremendous influence on those around them. But it's not as noticeable because they're not extroverted or loud or whatever. Right? So you could be a powerful leader of others. I'm not talking a company right now, right? So young, a kid, but you do it in an unconventional or different way. You with me? And so now let's go to the corporate or the professional or business or organization side of this. And yeah, there are some people that have some, that maybe have a few more natural leadership gifts or genes or abilities or whatever, but there are all kinds of problems in them. They lean too much into discussion. They lean too much into tasks. They're too arrogant. They lack enough confidence. They talk too much. They talk too little. They're too bold. They're too conservative. They make decisions too quickly. They make decisions too slowly. They've got a vision. We were in a call just a few hours ago with a Fortune 10 company, huge company. And we were one of the people on the call was bringing up two executives in the organization. They said, you know, I think I'm in the middle between that person, the names will, let's just use some fake names, between Frank and Susan. I think between, I'm not, Frank is this way and Susan is that way. And I'm kind of in the middle between the two. And these leaders, these executives, both very successful that this person on our call and our meeting was referencing, very successful, high level. They've made their way up to the top of the org chart in one of the biggest companies in the world that you all would recognize the name of if I said. And yet they've got such different styles. How is that even possible? Because if leadership is scientific or academic, wouldn't you just learn these certain principles on paper and then you would just go be that thing or do those things and we could grade you. Yeah, you're an A+ on great leadership. Well, here's a challenge. You've got a personality. You've got natural inclinations. You've got natural ways that you lead. And some of them are working really well for you. They've gotten you to whatever level of success you're experiencing. And some of your natural instincts, your abilities, the way you think, the way you show up, the way you communicate, man, they are working against you. They are not helping you lead others effectively. And so you're working to manage that, aren't you? And you're working to put people around you who make up for your inadequacies or just the way that you need someone to balance that thing out. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. And so there's no instant great leader. There's no instant Christian. There's no instant great leaders. You have some really good qualities. So do I. And I've been working in a leadership lab for 20 years of my life, right? And I've been leading, been in positions of management for over 30. And yet, holy crud, do I have a lot to work on. In the words of one of my former bosses, I'm tripping over myself constantly. And so that's the beautiful thing to me. It's one of the things that draws me, quite honestly, I'm going to go back to religion or spirituality or however you want to define that, whoever you follow, whatever you're whatever you read or study or listen to or worship or lean into, whatever it is, you do it hopefully because of the path it puts you on. Because it's making you better. And if you aren't doing that personally or spiritually or mentally or however you want to phrase that, you're missing out on so much. Your growth curve is just flat. You're no better off that now than you were 2 or 3 years ago. What are you working on? How are you measuring yourself against who you were? So that's what I love. That's what one of the things that attracts me to spirituality or religion is, there is a target I'm working towards. There is a type of individual who it's very hard to become. And I'm falling short in so many ways. But that religion, that spirituality, those teachings are helping me and illuminating and reinforcing things. I remember my brother, my oldest brother, when he was a teenager. He's 5 years older than I am. And I remember at one point when he was an older teenager, he was just done with religion. So done. He told my parents, I'm not going anymore. I'm not going to church. I'm done. And it created a lot of drama in our house, a lot of friction. And his reason for that was they're saying the same thing now that they said when I was 12 and 14, like there's nothing new. It's boring. And my parents were like, yeah. And it's going to be that way when you're 40 and you're 50. It's kind of designed that way. How old is the Bible, right? Or whatever scripture, Torah, or whatever it is that you profess or whatever religion or spirituality or whatever, right? Well, I think of Dave Ramsey. You guys know who Dave Ramsey is out of Tennessee, the financial guy who's hosted a radio talk show. He's got a lot of videos on YouTube. He does some events. He's written books, bestsellers. You can find him. Just basic as could be. He's not teaching anything profound. In fact, you listen to his radio show. I've talked with Dave Ramsey back in my media days. I'm a fan of his and super nice guy, unbelievable business leader. What he's created is unbelievable out of nothing over the last 30 years. Just remarkable and just a super good guy. And I was in listening to his show. It's the same thing every day. Like you can totally predict. He's got callers right into the radio show or the broadcast and, hey, yeah, I'm $20,000 in debt, or hey, I got these student loans, or yep, I'm behind. This is the nature of his show, right? What should I do? And we bought this house and whatever. And after you've listened like to one show for like 30 minutes, an hour, you can predict everything he's going to say. Everything. There's no difference day to day. And yet, I don't know what the audience is these days, but it's hundreds of thousands of people, maybe even millions, listen regularly. Maybe not every day, but sometime in a week or whatever. They buy his book. They read it again. He's saying the same thing. It's like spirituality. Why? Because we need those things reinforced, because it is not easy to spend less than you make. It is not easy to resist the temptations, the challenges, the jealousies, the envying of, crap, did you see that new car? Oh my gosh, look at the trailer my friends bought. Holy cow, did you see that new piece of jewelry, that piece of clothing, that toy? I want that. And so you're just constantly, or you on social media, whatever, you just want these things. You can never, I don't care what amount of money you're making, whether you make $25,000 a year or you make $25 million a year, it's not enough. It's not enough for everything that you want. Isn't that amazing? And so, and yet you think, oh man, if I could just get to $150,000, $300,000 a year, that $500,000, can you imagine if I made that in a year? All of my problems would go away. We could have enough for... No, they wouldn't. And you know what? You would not have enough money. You'd have enough for your current needs, but your needs are going to shift because you're going to want that and this and whatever, right? Now one house isn't enough. You want two houses and this many cars is enough. You want that many cars. You know what I mean? And so Dave Ramsey's just teaching these same principles day after day. Why? Because you are working on becoming financially solid and having enough, right? So apply that to leadership. So it's why I listen to podcasts about leadership. It's why I watch videos. It's why I take courses myself. It's why I read books. It's why I'm constantly thinking about it. Why? Because there are so many things that I have yet to adopt, to make natural for myself. They aren't the way I naturally lean. And in order to lead and scale and deliver and be the type of leader I want to be, I got a lot to work on, you all. Tons. So I'm chipping away at a few things and then a few more. It's so interesting. I'll close up with this. Just a couple more minutes and let me finish with this. And I hope I'm generating some thoughts. I hope during the last 5, 10, 15 minutes, thoughts are flowing through your head, right? And the point, and I'll get to another point, kind of an action that I want you, and some thoughts tied to you. So just hang with me for a second on that. But, you know, it's interesting because in Lead in 30, 4 weeks, we teach these three core competencies of clarity, alignment, and movement. They are profound. They're profoundly simple and they're profoundly impactful. Leaders who create clarity, it's insane the amount of impact that has in an organization on a leader's ability to deliver results. Then alignment. If you can create alignment instead of awareness, you know how to get different departments aligned. You know how to get a fix and create strong alignment in areas where it's lacking right now. That's profoundly valuable because, well, there's lots of reasons why, but we'll keep going. And movement is the third core competency. If you can shift beliefs, narratives, perceptions, what we call scripts, that's so powerful. So powerful. And so we teach these three core competencies in 30 days. Well, are we leaving a lot out? Oh my gosh, are we leaving so much out? This is the way I say it to our team, because sometimes we overload or we'll put something in a live class or something, or somebody on our, what we call faculty or team, they'll dig deeper into content we have in one of those live classes. And what I always tell them is, you all, we cannot bring everything out from the kitchen. There's so many things we're leaving in the kitchen that we've baked up, that we make, that we know how to make. We know how people respond when they taste it, when we show it to them, when we put it on the table in front of them, figuratively speaking. You tracking with me? I said, in Lead in 30, we only bring out a few dishes around clarity, alignment, movement. Are there more dishes we could bring out on clarity? Tons. We could go so much deeper. There's so much more we have to say on alignment. Oh my gosh, we left way more in the kitchen than we brought out and put on your table. But we need to give you just enough so you can implement that and find out the value of implementing those things in the way that you lead. But we got tons more. And so organizations sometimes will come to us and they'll say, in fact, we have a company right now that's considering putting a bunch of leaders through Lead in 30. They're talking to our head of business development, guy by the name of Brent, and Brent was saying to me, you know, Russ, they want to know what comes after Lead in 30. Like, what do we do with leaders after that? I'm like, Brent, have them talk to this person over at this other company who's been through it. They went through Lead in 30 like a year ago. We're 4 integration meetings in, and we just keep bringing stuff out from the kitchen. And every time we bring something out, they're like, whoa, that's really impactful. So this, my point in that is not about us. My point in that is about you, about all of us in that. So I have this little thing, this dish that's put on the table. Hey, Russ, in order to be an effective leader, you ought to do this thing. And I'm working on that. And maybe I get to a C plus or a B minus in executing on it. And then I need another thing brought out from the kitchen, if you will. Hey, Russ, you ought to try doing this more effectively. And the reality is, with the world in motion and all the problems and the things that change and the people who we cross, they're bringing things out all the time. Like, whoa, that's a new challenge. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Holy cow, I didn't know I sucked at that. I didn't know that I had that flaw. Like, these things are constantly coming at us. And so it is a never-ending process of trying to become a great leader. And so two thoughts for you as I close. One is, can I just recognize you for being on that path, being a student of leadership, somebody who's working on whatever you're working on right now, and being humble and curious and open-minded, and that you're trying to become someone who you aren't yet as a leader? You wouldn't be listening to this podcast otherwise, unless this is your sleep apnea treatment, and then I have to thank you for something else, although I'm kind of offended, sort of. But so I want to recognize you for that. And the second thing that I would encourage you to do, a call to action, a takeaway, an invitation, is think about what one or two things are you working on right now? Because you can't be working on everything in the kitchen, to use my example, right? You can't have a list of 80 things. Go back to the episode I did about the golf instructor, right? If you're going out to play golf today, you can't be working on your stance and your swing and your approach and where your head is and what kind of clubs and the new golf ball and the club. I mean, you can't have 80 things you're working on. Otherwise, you're going to drive your... If you've done that, I've done that before, it's like you just lose your mind. Your confidence goes out. You can't even hit a golf ball because it's all a head game now. You got so many things you're working on that you just can't do it. So instead, when you go to the golf course or the driving range, it's just, I'm just going to work on this today. I'm going to try to stand up a little straighter. I'm going to keep my arms straight, whatever it is. And then you see how that goes. And if you kind of get good at that and you're 7 or 8 holes into the course and you're kind of nailing that, you're getting good, then you might add another thing. Same for you as a leader. So what are the 1 or 2, maybe 3 things that you're working on right now in order to be a great leader? It's the same thing, going back to the way I started this episode, in my path to become a better Christian, which is a path for me. Man, there are so many things you all need to work on, but I got to just plug away on this and that to become a better dad, a better husband, a better neighbor, a better friend, a better servant, a better whatever, you know, there are a couple things I need to work on right now, and I'm hopefully making some progress on those. And then I'm going to go get another one out of the kitchen, so to speak, or dig into that. And so what are the things you're, if you can't define that, if you can't say, oh, Russ, it's this and it's that, then maybe you want to spend a few minutes thinking about what that is and lean into it, because there are no instant great leaders. That's what I got for you. I'll talk to you in the next episode of the Culture Hacks podcast.
Who do you know that could benefit from listening to this episode? Tap on the share button and text the link to a friend or colleague, or write a post on LinkedIn and tag Russ. Thanks for listening to the Culture Hacks podcast with Russ Hill.